Does possessing truth lead you to humble obedience and to be a witness for Jesus? Or is it leading you to pride, complacency, and lawlessness? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you're headed in for a great day at work and looking forward to just a day that God is going to use you today. We are kicking off a new series in the book of Romans called None Righteous. And these next 10 or 12 sermons or little sermonettes are going to be about that there is none righteous. Did you know that having this one component in your heart and in your mind will change how you interact in the public square? Think about this. Most of us as Americans, most of us in Washington State, think way too highly of ourselves. Instead of thinking of ourselves from a lowly position and understanding that the only good thing in us is Jesus Christ. So I hope you are enjoying these daily devotions. And if you like them, subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that huddle. And if you're a financial partner with FPIW, thank you for your generosity. God is making a way where there seems to be no way. We're trying to make sure that we can reach into the state of Washington and change hearts, change lives, change minds, so that way we can change policy. So let's dive into the Word of God today, and it's Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. It says, "Then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the benefit of circumcision?" Remember, our last series was circumcision of the heart. And he says, "Great in every respect. First of all, they were entrusted with the oracles of God." So I think this is incredibly important that the Jewish people were trusted with God's ordinances. And as we look at this, we understand that God cares so much about his word. He cares that we don't defile it, that we don't somehow try to change it or try to manipulate it, but to take it as closely as we can, to as accurately as can, as literally as we can, to live our lives in this way. But in order to understand this verse, in case you haven't been tuning in, let's go back just a little bit to Romans chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "But if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of truth." Now, this is what he's starting out with. So 2:17 really flows down through Romans 3, 1 and 2. He's saying, what's the advantage of being a Jew? And God has his chosen people. I know there's a lot of anti-Semitic conversations going around the globe right now. Has God forsaken his people? Has God given up on the people? Is the church now the people? And we need to understand something very clearly. When in the Old Testament, when God would talk to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and say, "This is an everlasting covenant," God meant an everlasting covenant. As Gentiles, we are grafted in to the very things of God. It's not that we want to somehow take their position or do their things, but they've been entrusted with the oracles of God, the word of God, and that's their position. And God loves them so very much. Now, the problem was there was some hypocrisy within the Jewish people. They thought, "I'm a teacher of the blind. I'm a corrector of the foolish. I'm a teacher of the immature," and they had pride rise up in their hearts. Now, before we go attacking our older brother too much, we need to also look into our own hearts. Because as Christians, I see these same attitudes. I'm a guide to the blind. I'm a corrector of the foolish. I'm a teacher of the immature. But we do not obey God's word, where he challenges us to be humble, to forgive, to love, to walk in his ways each and every day. Now, this can be moment by moment, can't it? I mean, for instance, if you're at home with your spouse, that may be one moment, and you need to ask God for God's favor on that moment. If you're in the public square, that may be a different moment. But these were having the law and the embodiment of the knowledge and the truth. The Jewish people were to hold on to the law of God for us and make sure that truth prevailed. Now, it says this, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourselves? In other words, they weren't learning from their own education. Aren't we as Christians, as Gentiles, exactly like our older brother? And you might be saying, why does he keep saying older brother? Well, the parable of the prodigal son has an older son and a younger son. And the older son was always with God. And yet we see that the younger son, I believe is us, the wayward son, that gets in the pig pen, we come to our senses and God runs to us as we're running to him. And we say, we have sinned against heaven, against you. We're no longer worthy to be called your son. That God begins to work on us. And we need to learn from our older brother. Has Israel been perfect? No. Are all Jewish people going to be saved? We're going to see that. He's going to talk about that in this section. There is none righteous. We know that that's not true. We know that people have to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yet, God still has a chosen people, and those chosen people are Jews who live in Israel, not just who live in the Jewish people. Let's take that part out. All Jews, and he wants them all to come to the saving knowledge through Jesus Christ. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you not steal? Now, we can learn from them and say, hey, we're the same way. We say, hey, don't look at pornography, but are we committing adultery? Or, hey, don't have adultery, but are we looking at pornography? I mean, it's the same things. Or we say, hey, don't participate in homosexuality, but we're looking at pornography, or vice versa. Or, hey, you know, do this, do that. And we somehow steal from the very things of God. We need to be humble people that really look into the Word of God and digest it in such a way that God is able to work in our hearts and our minds to change us from that inside out so that we can see things change. You say, well, how do you know we're not changed from the inside out? Just look in the public square. Have you noticed in the public square that lawlessness, that evil is prevailing? It's because our hearts are evil and lawlessness prevails in our hearts. You say, well, I'm a Christian. That doesn't happen for me. I get it. You may need to have a pharisectomy where you reinstill humility back into your life. But I want to encourage you. We need to pray for that public square and believe that God is going to change our hearts. That's what we need. We need a heart change. You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law through the breaking of the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. I would say the name of God right now is blasphemed among Gentiles because of the church oftentimes. And we need to somehow walk in that newness of life where we begin to show that and demonstrate that to others. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who through having the letter of the law and circumcision are transgressors thereof? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor a circumcision that which is an outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is from God. And then it goes back up to that top part. So, then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the benefit of circumcision? And this is what's really important. Great in every respect. What's great? The advantage of being a Jew is great in every respect. The advantage of being circumcised is great in every respect. First of all, they're a keeper of the oracles or the truth of God. That's what they've been entrusted to do. Now, you may think it's unfair that God has a chosen nation, a chosen people, and that Gentiles are grafted in through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But can I just point out, you're not God. You don't get to choose the system. God chose the system. And some of you will take that last little part of chapter 2 and try to say, well, see, it says right here, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. And you're going to say, see, that undoes the Abrahamic covenant. Yes, I can see what you're saying. The only problem is you have to read the rest of Romans 9, 10, 11, and you're going to find out. I think it even starts in chapter 7, quite frankly, if I remember right. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. If when you read that, you know this, that's not the proper interpretation of this. You got to read the whole counsel of God's word, not just little pieces. So what's our application? As the body of Christ in the state of Washington, there is no room for anti-Semitic behavior. There's no place for it. They are God's chosen people, and we as Gentiles have been grafted in. There's three things, and I'm trying to remember all three of them, so let's see if I can get it. There's three things that God repeatedly says in the Old Testament, that there's a nation, Israel, which is the people. That there is land, and that's really interesting about the land is it's God's land. And I'm trying to remember the third, but there's three parts to that. Oh, there's the covenant, which is the everlasting covenant. So we have those three things there, that God's word, it's everlasting. There's a time frame. And so think about this. If God doesn't keep his promise to Israel, he's not going to keep his promise to you. So how do we, like literally, how do we walk today? There is none righteous. And if you're Jewish, I want to encourage you to repent and let Yeshua come to be your Lord and Savior. Confess him as Lord. I know from the testimony of others, I've heard that many are afraid to read the New Testament or to read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, those kind of books with an open heart and an open mind to what the Holy Spirit might see. But I would encourage you to do that. And lastly, I would say the church has not replaced the Jews. The next season we're going to see really is that God begins to do a work. And in this work, we are going to see that the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. I didn't say that. Jesus does. And the Jews are going to be called to repentance from by God. So what's my point today? There's none righteous. Jew, Gentile, Greek, barbarian, we all need Jesus Christ. So take the time today. Evaluate your heart. Are you found in Jesus? Is he your Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and we do pray for our older brother. And God, we thank you that you've entrusted them with the oracles of God, the Word of God, that you have moved upon their heart in a powerful way. God, we pray for our Jewish brothers that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and sisters, God, that they would be able to walk in the newness of life that you've given, that you would show them that you are the living God. And God, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the insight, we give you all that is due your name, God, the wisdom that's due your name, all the adoration that's due your name, every single aspect of our lives. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.